Okay, we're back from a short break, and I think, Jennifer, you were up.
I was.
All right.
But I don't know if anybody's ready.
You guys, let's go ahead and get started.
It's okay.
All right, Jennifer.
Yeah, that's what Jim said. Okay, so Karen has covered this idea of the issue papers already, but I just wanted to touch on it a little more detail because I think it does, it's important in terms of how it relates to these sort of lists of projects that we've categorized. And I think you can see it even more on Attachment A, where we took all the suggestions that we got and we sorted them into these categories based on the comprehensive plan. So broad topics like natural resources or housing or economic development. And we have 30-some projects that got submitted that are all categorized. We're not obviously recommending that we do all of those this year, but we are saying, and the Planning Commission is saying, do the housing piece. So you've got a half a dozen projects listed under housing. The thing I want to be clear about is staff is not recommending and the Planning Commission is not recommending that we necessarily end up doing everything that's listed. What we are saying is let's take all these suggestions that we got related to these broad categories and analyze those as part of an issues paper. And so the issues paper would look at things like what are our legal constraints? What are our requirements from the state or from Metro? What is the outreach that might be required for this? What is the likely sort of pushback that we're going to get? And are we prepared to take that on? What is the cost of doing this? How big of a scope can we really take on in this project in, say, an 18-month period of time? So we would analyze all of that, and we would look at these suggestions, because in some cases, the suggestions that we get from the public on a particular topic are in conflict. You may have one suggestion saying, provide more housing everywhere. We want more density everywhere. We want missing middle housing in our neighborhoods. And then you might get a suggestion that says, no, protect my neighborhoods. And we, in fact, have exactly those conflicts in what's been suggested. And so the idea would be that through the issues paper, we could talk about those trade-offs. And we would write that up, do some research, look at resources that are out there, frame those issues, and then come back and have that dialogue both with the Planning Commission and with you so we can get a sense of how far in are we on this? Are we all in? Are we doing everything? Are we doing part of it? And vet that a little better up front, because sometimes I think we get so far into a project, we've expended a lot of resources, and then at the end we kind of say, maybe this was a really bad idea. And the idea would be, let's try as much as possible to vet that up front. And that's how we would visualize this housing piece working.
So I'd appreciate it if you're going to ask a question, put your card up. If you're going to ask a question sometime during the presentation, we can all raise our cards up. So are you want to ask a question now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Relative to Jennifer's comments.
All right, great.
But I want to make sure that Martha was covered.
Martha was covered during break.
Okay. I think we're going to come back to that discussion on the future.
Right. And I still want to talk about transportation, that's where the thread's going, so I'm going to stay on that. So, Jennifer, I mean, it sounds like a great idea. You're right. We need to identify all those issues. But I want to, I guess, when you do that, hopefully you can actually put some weight on some of the community concerns or desires, and mm-hmm. There is conflict, right? Parking, just had a conversation with a member in the audience about all of this, and that's their opposites on views and issues about that. And maybe it's right to do some things in one area and do something a little bit different elsewhere. So, but I just want to make sure on the white paper that we put weight on the community desires and the community issues as well. And I won't say strategize how we're going to grapple with that, but make sure that, and you're right, we have the legal issues, we have some of the constraints, we have the metro, we have all of this stuff that we need to contend with. But I just want to make sure that everything's balanced. It's done in a way that's balanced so that people know they're heard and they know that we're being tactful in how we're approaching that.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. And I would anticipate we'll go back and look at the letters that were submitted and read what people asked for in terms of these housing-related projects. And then we can sort of fold that into to the discussion and try to resolve the conflicts to the degree we can, or at least decide we're actually going to go out to the public and do a project and talk about those things.
Right. And what we foresee as being community concerns. I mean, the parking, for example, is a very contentious one. It's important to document that for the board so they understand what the pros and cons are regarding that particular topic. How possibly impacts the neighborhoods, but facilitating new development in certain areas.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. So switch gears to Karen for a moment on the same topic, and that is that We had a letter from the Historic Downtown Oak Grove folks, and they identified an interest in looking at parking. And it seems to be on the economic side. You did a great job laying out your presentation. We got it divided into basically four sections here, natural resources and transportation, housing, and economics. And this issue of parking kind of overlays in a few of these, right, really. But I'm not really anticipating, or are we, in the Park Avenue, a greater dialogue. It's not really covered in a strong way in Memorandum 1, 2, or 3. It touches on it, on some of the goals, maybe, or some goals. But is that the proper place, or how do we talk about that in either the economic arena or the housing arena? Because it applies to both.
So let me see.
Could you restate the question? Yeah. I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to do. So I think the question that you have is, how is parking going to be looked at both within the Park Avenue station project as well as how it might be looked at in other areas?
Right. The historic downtown area,
and I believe, I don't know, you might have more familiar with the details of that letter. But
this is the first one in the packet.
Yes, yes, I know which one you're talking about. But
it's different.
So for the Park Avenue station area project, parking and parking requirements are part of development and design standards. Mm-hmm. And so if we do move forward into phase two, parking would be discussed as a development and design standard. And how it relates to perhaps other requirements that might be talked about related to removing the maximum density for housing in certain key locations. So I would say that yes, we would be talking about parking standards as it specifically relates to the Park Avenue area. Right?
Okay.
I do think also that there is overlap. You could probably, you know, not only as there is overlap between the housing and the economics issues, and especially as we talk about what goes on within our corridors. I think it's part of the reason why we've sort of said, you know, housing is the top priority, and there's a variety of different things that need to be talked about. But economics and the economics piece it comes in second, right? And it should be looked at soon after. It may be, and I'll put this out there, I know that we have applied for a metro grant that actually looks at our corridors, right? And the development within those corridors. That might be a place if we get awarded that grant and move forward with that, that would also be a place where we would be looking at parking standards as it sort of interfaces with our corridors. So I don't know if you have other things to add.
The letter from Historic Downtown Oak Grove, they touched on several issues, and I think it was generally in support of the Planning Commission's discussion about the Planning Department kind of working with the Oak Grove Community Council and their suggestions related to small-scale manufacturing and sort of changes in that kind of historic downtown Oak Grove area related to wanting to attract maybe a bakery or a brewery. There's some inflexibility in our zoning code they'd like us to address. And I think you're going to cover the minor amendments a little more. So there is a piece that the Planning Commission is recommending we consider under minor amendments. The letter from the Historic Downtown Oak Grove folks does go a little bit farther, I think, than what the Planning Commission really sort of put into the minor amendments package, in that they did raise this parking issue, which I am aware is out there from conversations, which is the idea that you could do some redevelopment in downtown Oak Grove without providing additional parking, or possibly with some sort of shared parking with maybe churches in the area that have different their peak times are different. Our code does not currently allow that flexibility. The churches are often in residential areas where they have a conditional use permit, but we don't allow commercial parking in residential areas. So it would require a code change for that. To the degree that it's a minor amendment, and we're going to get there, then maybe it may work. But to the degree that it becomes kind of a larger scale community conversation about what we want in historic downtown Oak Grove, I think that's probably outside the scope of what we've contemplated here. And if we were going to do that instead, it would require us to shuffle some things.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm confused is because you got L18 and L19 combined. And really, 18, as was kind of intended, was not Park Avenue centric, as was suggested by the letter from Oak Grove Community Council.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
From the historic Oak Town. Oh, so I just want to know if they were, is that just totally exclusive to Park Avenue, or is it going to be a greater thing?
So L18, is would be broader than Park Avenue. Yes, it would be a general amendment that would apply to certain commercial districts.
So for clarity, it's actually separate.
Yes.
It's
correct.
Not Park Avenue Central.
Correct. Yes, and the Planning Commission suggested we do something on that in the next 2 years.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So
wait,
I just
Ken. Sorry.
Because it's related to what we're discussing, I had that as the small scale manufacturing, mm-hmm. and you specifically referenced the raw materials that would be involved in brew pubs, bakeries. It's easier to say distilleries.
It is. It is.
But it also suggests that some other kinds of small-scale manufacturing could occur, such as mm-hmm. Metals manufacturing of one kind mm-hmm. or another. So I'm not sure that's what the community is actually asking for.
I agree with you.
Brewery. I get the bakery, because we're talking about issues that are urbanization, quality of life issues. So if we go forward with something on this, I'm suspicious, or not suspicious, not the right word. I'm just concerned that we don't open a door so wide that all of a sudden you have a manufacturing center there that is not what the community was looking for.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go a little out of order in the presentation because I feel like we're here. The questions just lead to it. So there is this idea that we would do a minor amendments. We're recommending that every year moving forward, we just have a placeholder for a minor amendment, minor and time-sensitive ZDO amendments. The idea is this is kind of what follows the ZDO audit, so that hopefully we don't have to do another audit in 10 years, that we would actually kind of keep pace with changes that happen annually, we hope. So it's things like the legislature says we've added four uses in the EFU district and we need to go in and put those in our code, or we're now saying you can't do this and we need to go and change that, or we have a hearings officer decision that points out a flaw in our code we didn't realize we had and we need to fix it. So it's those kind of things. And they would either be little, minor, or they would be time sensitive, meaning we have a mandate from somewhere, this has to get done by this date. We had that with accessory dwelling units. You may remember in 2018 we had to do something because of state law. So as part of that package, the Planning Commission has recommended that three things that were on this list of community concerns get added to that minor amendments package. One is the small-scale manufacturing. Another is the operating hours for marijuana retailers. And then the third one related to dog kennels and dog daycare. And so they offer kind of my concern about what you're saying, that these minor amendments might not be minor and the scope might increase. The retailing hours, that's simple. It's a policy decision, but we just change it or we don't. It's very simple to just make the edit. The other two have the potential to either be minor. So, for example, kennels. We have some community members who are operating kennels in the Damascus area, at least one I know of, that never went through land use review. There's some concern about that. A community concern, Planning Commission concern, that we should find a pathway to resolve these issues. The issue is the zoning ordinance has a 200-foot setback requirement, flat out, for kennels. So if we just decided, they're conditional use permits, if we just said we're going to get rid of the 200 feet and free it up so other people can apply, we would still get to decide if the property was suitable or not, but we just remove the 200 feet, that's a minor amendment. If we decide to go in and establish a suite of regulations for dog kennels, it's not minor anymore. So I think it depends when we say, what are we going to do that's minor? And the same thing with the small-scale manufacturing. There are a couple of simple fixes. We could allow manufacturing in the commercial core in Oak Grove.
Can you define the manufacturing you allow?
We could, yes. So if we just
a minor amendment.
Yes, we could just say breweries and bakeries and be done, or distilleries.
That's my concern.
Yes,
because that gives the community an opportunity to weigh in and say, okay, these things we do want to.
Correct. Include. Correct.
And that could be included in a minor amendment.
Yes.
And it's over and done with.
Yes.
As opposed to some broader based thing, and all of a sudden they find themselves saddled with something that they never imagined that they would have in their community.
Yes, and you should have been at the Planning Commission with me, because that was basically the discussion that I had with them was, well, now wait a minute, if we're talking about all of a sudden there could be noise impacts, there could be odor impacts, you're talking about potentially trucks down, you know, increased truck traffic in this little, is that really what they want? Maybe what they really want is the neighborhood brew pub that they can walk to have a beer. And, oh, by the way, there's some small-scale production where they're selling to other restaurants in the area.
That's precisely what they're looking for,
right?
Without it bleeding over into something much more.
Yes. So the quick fix could be done as part of minor amendments. If we're talking about a community discussion about small-scale manufacturing, that is not a minor amendment. That's a project. And so if that's what you want, we need to start talking about what comes off the list to provide for that bigger conversation.
Yeah. So real quickly, I know we went from parking now to small-scale manufacturing, but under C3 zoning, my business was actually small-scale manufacturing, okay? Perfectly allowed in C3 zoning in the context that I used it. I don't think we coined it that way, right? Mm-hmm. But in reality, it is. So I agree with Jennifer that this, you can open up really a can of worms, but there are things that you can actually can do. So I think they almost need to be more specific if they really feel that a particular zone does not allow that. There's a lot of confusion over, you know, industrial, is it heavy industrial? That's more known with manufacturing. But there's a lot of businesses still in McLaughlin that make small things. And that's small scale manufacturing, whether it's food or it's parts or whether it's RV parts or whatever it may be.
Of course,
it happens today.
I think we're talking about beautiful downtown Oak Grove in that actual little cluster, a commercial cluster, where they could have the brewery or the bakery or that sort of thing.
Yeah, the two areas are different. And so actually, Joseph Edge from Oak Grove Community Council, who I think actually drafted this suggestion, if I remember correctly, does have a very good handle on what the barriers are in the code, but I think there's a vision of maybe having a community conversation about how to address those barriers, and that's where I get concerned that it becomes bigger. But you're right. On McLaughlin, you can do manufacturing. It's an allowed use. The only prohibition is processing of raw materials, and that can be an issue with things like a brewery.
And I'm not suggesting that on McLaughlin you would want to change that.
Sure.
It's probably a fairly appropriate place, but in the little downtown cluster of Oak Grove, that I don't think that's what people are doing.
Right, and that area does not generally allow manufacturing, and so that's the issue.
Though there's Cranston Machinery, which is not a large-scale manufacturer, but it's not a small-scale manufacturer.
It's also been there.
They're a non-conforming use.
So. Yeah.
Bob Treadmill used to be in that area, too. Karen, did you?
I just have a few more words to say, and then we'll just kind of open it up.
Okay.
I get lost, you guys. When we go off script, I mean, I get lost in the whole conversation. Just to let you know.
So where we are, I'll bring it back. We're just kind of, I'm going to finish up identifying what projects are the land use projects, and then specifically ask you guys some questions. So the other projects that are on the land use work program would be to finish up with the Park Avenue Development and Design Standards project. That's a project that's currently underway, and we'll be discussing that in another 2 weeks with the board. And then I think and then we're also going to be finishing up the short-term rentals in the single-family residential area. So that's a project that currently is underway, and we anticipate completing by
early fall is the goal.
Early fall.
You want to bet?
Outreach starts tonight. We'll be at the Boring CPO tonight.
Okay. So that really wraps up the different elements that are on the long-range, the Planning Commission recommended long-range planning work program. We have talked about coming back, since it is a two-year work program, coming back yearly and just checking in with the Planning Commission as well as the board. So in summary, Jennifer, did you want to say a few comments just about the overall work program and it being ambitious?
Sure. That's fine. I just have maybe three comments. This is I think Karen said this to me yesterday when we were talking about this presentation. This is an ambitious work program. It's achievable, but it's ambitious. And we are going to have to pay attention to scope creep if we do all of this, you know, that it doesn't just sort of like the housing project doesn't just kind of grow and grow and grow. But I think we can do it. The second piece of that, though, is that we are going to be at capacity doing this. And as Dan mentioned, we have some staffing challenges. We are not able to devote a large amount of FTE to long-range planning, so we're going to need to be efficient and deploy our resources as effectively as possible. If the board is interested in changing this recommendation in some way to add something that's on the list, then I think we really do need to talk about what we don't do so that we can do something that's more of a priority to you if this does not reflect your priorities. And then the last thing, and this is just me as, you know, kind of the planning division administrator, urging you to keep in mind the ongoing administrative costs of some of these things. And it's, I don't think I'm so much concerned about what we're proposing to add new, but it's sort of just the recognition that we added marijuana and we've been processing literally hundreds of applications. There were good reasons to do that. To have those regulations, but you know, in the new license limitations, we're starting to see some vested right non-conforming use applications come in, so there's that administration. If we adopt the short-term rental program, we don't know where that's going to end up housed, but that's going to have an ongoing staffing component related to that. And so it's just, I guess, my chance to say, keep in mind that this is the long-range list, but these things have ongoing, you know, ongoing implications as well, and so that's it.
So with that, we invite you, if you have any questions about the Planning Commission recommendation for the Long Range Planning Work Program. I also did want to share that the Planning Commission did request that we come back to them in a planning session about, there's an item L26 that has suggestions about notification and public outreach. There was a lot of discussion at the Planning Commission meeting about this request. They wanted to hear more about potential options related to perhaps digital or e-notice and the implications of those changes before they recommended folding it into the work program, but I wanted to highlight that to you. There's information in the minutes about that. And then finally, we're requesting of you to authorize DTD to move forward with the long-range planning work program, and so that's the official request that we have for you today.
So, before I turn my mic on, all I can say about the, I don't want any more marijuana discussions. Time, place, manner. We have spent way too much time on this. Unless the legislature requires some sort of change, I'm not interested in bringing marijuana back. So, I mean, that's just so you know. I think I said it before. Ken. And then Paul.
Well, I've already iterated my concern about the manufacturing thing, like, you know, but if there's a minor amendment that can be done that's not staff time intensive and that would address the brewery and bakery livability kind of thing, I'd like to see that happen. The second thing is notification on land use issues. We've had this conversation in the rural areas, expanding the distance, mm-hmm. Particularly, and you did suggest that you do a separation with minor things, keep it normal, but with the larger kinds of things, you go with a larger expansion.
That would be an option. Yeah, we could definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. I think the Spangler Road issue was the perfect example of what we're talking about here. You had a large application, and basically one person got notified or something. It was very, very limited. And you know, with the parcels being as large as they are out there, I think our intent of notifying a lot of people gets lost. And so I'd like to see us resolve that. Hopefully that can be done again as a relatively minor thing. Other than those two things, what you presented today is fine. I'm on board.
Okay, so I want to bring this back to the first part. When I first raised my card, which is the transportation piece. Under transportation, the first one, I believe, whether it's Jennifer or Karen, I can't remember which, on T2, which was Damascus area transportation needs, there was a mention of the Sunrise Gateway. Are those two separate things? I know that if in regards to the recent court ruling last week on Damascus, we may be putting that on hold until the legislature, so we may put that one thing on the Damascus only piece, but the gateway piece is really in the Happy Valley area. So when you mentioned that, I was kind of curious if that actually is that.
So we have one contract that has two components to it. One is the TSP work for Damascus, which we're going to have a dialogue. We haven't had a discussion yet about the discussion this morning. And then secondly was a dialogue around this new look at Sunrise and what that work might be. That work will continue to go forward.
Okay.
Because that work educates the T2020 discussion.
Okay, perfect. Yep.
Okay. And then I think just to come back to the question that Commissioner Schrader had about the dialogue around T2020, and there's a discussion around the future study. There's some overlap there, but there's some differences to that. I mean, first and foremost, we have to find money for it. Okay. But the futures discussion was kind of this dialogue around the next 50 years and what's that look like. And if you remove some of the limitations regarding kind of the financially constrained list and all these dialogues that we have around metro standards and local standards, what would our transportation system kind of look like? I actually have an update here that we provided, C4, which I can give you, which is back in December. But it gives you kind of a description of the project and what it might entail.
Okay, send that to mm-hmm.
So the only other thing is that we're doing a housing needs assessment, and that could have an impact on the work plan. I don't know that, but it could. So, but you've left room in there to deal with that. I mean, I'm fine with moving forward on this. Is everyone else?
Yeah, I do have one comment. Yeah, okay. I'm okay with moving forward as presented and as kind of explained. But I do have one thing. I just want to get a better flavor on T28 fee in lieu of something I've struggled with for 20 something years being involved in the CPO, and that is I'm really a big believer in safety and walking and all that, and sidewalks are a big part of that. So you can imagine that the fee in lieu of building a sidewalk was something I struggled with, and I even felt that the financial benefit into the fund was just too low, too much of an incentive not to build it, frankly. And so therefore the funding account that the monies would go to, the fee in lieu of, were inadequate to do much of anything. So what is the goal in that?
So I guess I first would comment that over the past year or two, relatively recently, we re-looked at the fees and changed them to be more up-to-date and reflective of really what the costs are to build that sidewalk. So it's not as much of a disincentive to build the sidewalk, but what this will actually be looking at, there has been some questions about whether or not currently, if you are on an arterial, you are not even, engineering's not allowed to even consider a fee in lieu of. So if it's an arterial, we require a sidewalk. The development review team has been concerned that there are some places where there are environmental constraints that would cause there to perhaps be a benefit from them paying a fee instead of building the sidewalk. So they were looking for a little bit of flexibility in there. So these are kind of smaller tweaks related to that fee in lieu of standard that we have.
Okay. I mean, I could say that there are times where it made no sense to put a sidewalk there. What I had heartburn was is that the fee should have been commensurate with the cost to build it, mm-hmm. and that would have been able to mitigate, if you will, building a sidewalk where tremendous need was there, and we had reasonable resources to do just that.
All right.
I just want to clarify. So I think I heard you seem to be moving toward a decision, but maybe you don't. I heard you say you don't want to deal with marijuana, so we would not be looking at the change to the marijuana retailing hours. I heard that. I heard keep the small scale manufacturing piece minor, not a full out project at this point, but maybe it's targeted breweries, bakeries, some of those kinds of things. And I heard look at rural notice, some options for increasing as part of the minor amendments package. Okay, so I just want to make sure if those are sort of tweaks to the Planning Commission recommendation that's what you're acknowledging.
Tell me more about the last thing you said, because that was my question.
The rural notice. Distance. Right.
Just expanding that
right.
per
so,
all of these comments.
In rural.
Yes. So we got a lot of comments primarily from folks living near the Spangler Road marijuana production and processing site, although there were also a couple comments from folks in Stafford as well with the same concern. Currently in the rural area, notice distance is 500 feet if you're in a rural residential zone and 750 feet if you're in a farm or forest zone. And so I did some.
Have a 750-foot-long driveway.
Yeah, I did some. It is from the perimeter of the property, but you're right. In some cases, the number of people who are notified is relatively small because the parcels are large. So I did a little analysis, kind of back of the envelope. You know, certainly not scientific, but looked at a few files, and it's pretty random. In some cases, it increases the number of notices a lot, like maybe six times as many people, and in some cases, not so much. And it all depends on the parcelization. It's a simple code amendment. It's the ongoing administration component that's the issue, because we do have to send more letters, you know, essentially. So there's some staff time, et cetera, involved in that. I do want to caution, though, on the Spangler Road site. So what was notified there was the processing application. So the processing application is an application that requires notice. Marijuana growing does not. So that was a, you know, we consciously made that decision back when the regulations were adopted in 2016. And so there's, it's a type one application with clear and objective standards, and it's, you either meet it or you don't. Of course, with the new license limitations, we're not going to have the scope of what we had previously anyway, so should be less of a concern. So we can, it would be a simple code amendment, and we could just include that as in part of the minor amendments package.
Thank you.
Dan.
Okay, I want to shake the tree a little bit on the SPIFA. So,
what'd you say?
I want to shake the tree a little bit on the SPIFA.
And that acronym again was what?
Shake the tree.
No. Stafford Area Preliminary Infrastructure Feasibility Assessment.
God, I can't say that.
Well, you're good.
Yeah.
We're going to get shirts.
Yeah.
Stafford.
We'll get like a print sign, formerly known as.
Figuring out where the water pipes and the sewer pipes go.
Yeah, that's about it. The roads.
I keep getting individual kind of inquiries about that. We're making sure that you understand that we still have the money queued up at Metro. It's still there, okay? Our discussions to date have been a dialogue around the fact that when do we spend those public dollars when the urban-rural reserve discussion gets a final decision on it. As Gary and others have said, there's been discussions about possibly moving that forward sooner rather than later. We'll have to update the board if and when. We're sticking to kind of the urban-rural reserve discussion right now. If that changes, we'll have to come back and probably give you an update on that if we're looking to fast-forward that. We're getting some issues from some of the cities, I think, who have interest in kind of moving that work sooner rather than later. But there hasn't been a final decision on that, to the best of my knowledge. And we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
What do you say final decision? What do you mean? I thought there was a final decision. They've come up with their little...
They've been appealed.
That was an appeal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, the reserves.
The
decision.
Reserves decision.
The reserves decision is still at the Court of Appeals.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yep. Got it. All right. I'm sorry.
Paul. So I just getting comfort with the fact that L18 is not on here, but you've got it. We kind of covered that as Jennifer slightly outlined. We smaller scale, basically looking at the Park Avenue area. My segue is into, I'm okay with that if we are still, but this is not today's discussion, it's a discussion for 2 weeks from now. I'm still okay that the concept at which we move forward the Park Avenue was that the focus would be on the commercial corridor aspect of it and sensitivities to the neighborhood and keeping that area, you know, relatively sound, if you will. And you know, issues like parking would come up and all those things would come up. And then that might be somewhat of a model to say, or a process model to say, what would that look like in different aspects of the boulevards as we went farther and farther south, right? Not that we would duplicate it to a T, because every area would be a little bit unique. So if the parking aspect is a learned process in the second phase of the Park Avenue, and we learn in the small scale manufacturing and all these other things that are somewhat not part of this, then I'm fine if we continue on that mode. What I'm concerned, and Dan and I had shared a conversation, is that the memorandum 3 is suggesting that the economics don't make sense on McLaughlin Boulevard, that the walk score is too low, we should not worry about McLaughlin Boulevard, and we should dive into the neighborhood instead, which is kind of antithetical to the whole thing. And I don't know, we'll talk about it in 2 weeks, but I'll just tell you that there's a lot of people, and the comments, I've been reading all the comments, a lot of people have been, I think all of us agree, all of us want to see a major upgrade to the McLaughlin Boulevard corridor, the commercial corridor, and a facelift, if you will. And just to shift focus away from that, I just think we'd have a really rough time. So, again, getting back to today's discussion, if that is still the plan, I have comfort in supporting this here today. Using, again, that learned experience and model and discussions about parking and about small-scale manufacturing and the commercial aspects of how they all interrelate to each other, because
so
they're
I'm
both commercial.
Confused on what you're saying.
Can I borrow for a second?
Yeah, why don't you take what I just broached and build on that so they understand.
So we're going to have, we have a planning session set up on a Wednesday. It's a couple weeks out. And it's to sit down with all of you and talk about Park Avenue. And the discussion around is around, one, what was the scope of the project that we had initially discussed, and then we put forward a grant forward. What are some of the comments that we're hearing from some of the community, which may change some of that scope of that project? Do we want to do that or not, or stay united and focused on what our original effort was? And we're going to talk to you about a lot of the things that we talked to you about today. One is costs, because it would be an increase in cost. It's scope creep, which is something we've talked about a little bit, but it's also the dialogue about how do you memorialize, if we choose to keep that scope contained, how do you memorialize the information that we heard and respect that dialogue? That is all going to be a discussion we're going to have at Park Avenue. And to build on what the commissioner was saying, there may be takeaways from that Park Avenue discussion around like parking or other nuances of that that may be a good learning lesson that can be applied to other areas up and down the corridor if we get this other grant. So with that
we're right, that captures. Okay. I just want to make sure my colleagues understood yep. that.
Well, that's y'all why I asked. So can
let me put it in a simpler question. Is there anything in this long-range planning document that changes the focus of the project at Park Avenue?
No, I meant it the other way around. Yeah, I meant it the other way around. So.
Not in this.
No.
Okay.
It acknowledges a project that's currently going on that we're going to finish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm prepared to make a motion when the chair is prepared to accept.
No, we're done with this. We can't. I have a commissioner communication I just want you to know about.
Okay. So that was a motion?
I'm prepared to
second.
Make
there's a
third.
Move to second. But there's a third.
Have you guys ever? We should record this.
If there's a fourth and a fifth.
take a video of this. This was the easiest long read.
Ken?
So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we authorize option number 2, authorizing the long range planning work program with amendments as referenced by Jennifer.
Second.
Third. Fourth and fifth. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thanks for your hard, dedicated work.
Thank you.
I want to compliment you on the outreach to the communities. I know, you know, that adds a lot more time and effort and work to what you do, but it also adds a lot more buy-in from the community. Not that everybody is always going to agree with everything, but I think it facilitates the process going forward with a lot less hate and discontent, frankly.
Thank you, and kudos to Lorraine Gonzalez on my staff and Ellen Roglin from PGA for all their help with that as well.
Yes.
And you said tonight, boring CPO?
Yes, correct. We're having 7 meetings in about 6 weeks doing outreach on short-term rentals, and tonight we're in boring.
Feel free to attend.
I can't make the one tonight.
I might be able to. Where's it at? Well,
the boring fire station at 7, but why don't we send the meeting list out? We'll send it to all of you this afternoon. Yeah.
All right. So was that it?
All right. Wait, don't.
I know.
That's it for policy sessions. You have your retreat this afternoon, commissioners, which, as you know, is just you, your 2 direct reports, me and Stephen Matcor, and a facilitator.
Are you looking at one specific person?
I just know. My head was just all 5 commissioners, plus
Thank
me
you.
And Stephen Matcor. There's a facilitator. It is closed to the public, and it is closed to staff. This is team building. There will be no decisions made, no policy discussed, but it's allowed under ORS to close this to the public. That starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Otherwise, we're done with policy sessions and issues for today, unless...
Yes.
I'm so sorry that I forgot this. 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 I'm so sorry that I forgot this.